many believes that tonight? Glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's his battle. Amen. We've been promised the victory. Amen, amen. Just gets gooder and gooder. So nice to be back here again tonight for round two. Jesus Christ versus Lucifer. You know, I almost feel sorry for the devil, almost. You would think that after a few more black eyes and bruises and obvious defeats that he'd give up. But you know, he's faithful. He's faithful. The devil doesn't miss a service. If there's an altar call, he's right down there with you. He's the first one that comes, the last one that leaves. Right? I'll hand it to him. He's faithful. Right? But so is our God. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I thank the choir once again tonight. My heart's just overflowing, and just want to encourage you to keep blessing us that way. And the song specials from different ones of you, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Looking forward to more of that. Every part of it makes the service. I know he's pleased, right? Praise his wonderful name. Well, my forgetter is getting better and better, so I better look at what I've written down on a piece of paper so I don't make the same mistake I made this morning to not recognize somebody I've known for 31 years. It's nice to have you, Cynthia, is that right? It's nice to have you with us tonight. God bless you. Sister Priscilla, is she around somewhere? Nice to have you with us. God bless you. Brother Robert and Sister Delia Figueroa and Sister Ruth, nice to have you with us tonight. Actually, I missed a few over there that are with you. God bless you. Nice to have you with us. I wonder if we could have Brother Robert just come up and say hello and greet us and whatever's on his heart. We've been separated. We pray for them, and I know they pray for us, and we've been separated by some distance because of, you know, recent events and all that, but I'm thankful for any opportunities we have to come and get together and put our licks of fire together, and believe the same message, we worship the same God, we're planted in the same bed, the same season, the same hour, and we're fighting the same devil, and we're overcoming. Amen? Amen. So, God bless you.
That's right. We are fighting the same devil and sometimes the same battles. The Bible says that there is no temptation that has taken us that is not common to man. So sometimes we think we're fighting the battle by ourselves, but we're not. There's somebody else fighting that same battle. And we're in warfare, and I believe that. And
yes, sir.
One day I was reading the Bible, and just take a couple of minutes if I could.
That's right.
There in 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians, I forget which it is, but it's about chapter 10, verse 3. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God.
Yes, sir.
And it talks about, though we walk in the flesh, we war not after the flesh.
Right.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And I looked at that, and I read that many times, and I never noticed it said weapons, which is plural. And I thought, well, I know a weapon is the Word of God.
Yeah.
If you ever heard the message, the greatest battle ever fought, you know what that weapon is and how to use it.
Amen.
And I thought, well, what's the other weapon, Lord? Is there another weapon? I was meditating there before going to work in the morning, and the Lord just spoke to my heart. He said, and he reminded me, Brother Branham said that when the weakest saint goes to his knees before God, Satan trembles. And I thought, praise the Lord, we have a weapon.
Amen.
And as I began to study this and go into this, I realized Brother Bam talks there in the greatest battle ever fought. He says, what Satan's tactic is to get you to disbelieve your weapon.
Yeah. That's right.
Now, he's talking about the Word of God, but if our prayer is a weapon, he has gotten us to disbelieve our prayer. And that's why we don't pray enough. That's why some of us don't pray. And if we believe our weapon, we'll be looking for a place to get on our knees before God, because we're going to come against his kingdom, amen. And one day, a few months ago, I was looking at Facebook, and they showed a lady. I'm in a Pentecostal group. I like to see the UPC what they're up to, and they put a picture of a black sister, And you could tell she's UPC, long dress, beautiful long hair. And she's on her knees, and she's got her hands up in the air. And you know she's touching the throne of God. She's under the power of God. And it was impacting to see that picture. But what it said underneath it was even more so. It said, "This is how I fight my battles."
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And when we realize it, Jesus said, pray that you enter not into temptation.
Right.
And that's where we win our battles. Not when you're out there on the road or on the street or out in the supermarket or temptation comes or battles come. Your battle was won when you were on your knees before God. And that's where Satan is trying to rob us and get us to believe that it's no good. Brother Baz, if he gets you to disbelieve or believe that your weapon is not strong enough, he has disarmed you.
Right.
And I believe it's time that the bride of Christ realize that our prayer,
yes, sir,
just destroys the enemy.
Yes, sir.
And if we can begin to pray, the Bible says, you know, if you will pray and call on my name,
right,
I will answer.
Yes, sir.
And we have a God that answers prayer today. Amen.
Amen.
We need to test him in our prayer. Amen. So God bless you. I'm from a pastor in Huachuca City. There's Sierra Vista. We've been up there for 10 years, 11 years now, and fighting the battle over there, the same battles you're fighting.
Right.
Amen. But want to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and so happy to be here. Looking forward to hearing Brother John. And
sure.
I interpreted for Brother John when he was a young man, slim, weighed about 130 pounds. In Obregon, Mexico. And it's been about 25 years. And a few months ago, he preached at Tucson Tabernacle, and I went that night. It was a Friday night, and they called me up to pray. So I went up there to pray, and I came back, sat down. And when they called him up, he had heard my name. He said, that Robert Figueroa, by the way, that was mentioned, is he the one that interpreted for me in Mexico? And I said, yeah, well, I'm the one. And his wife told my daughter, Elizabeth, that she saw me go up to pray, and she said, Robert Figueroa. She said, well, that can't be the Robert Figueroa I knew. The one I knew had black, wavy hair. Amen. One of these days, you're going to see me with black, wavy hair. Amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Okay, let's try that again. Is it Christine? Did I get it right this time? Pardon me?
Oh,
see, Christine, right. So we want to greet you too. Sorry, I messed up your name the first time. So it's nice to have you with us. God bless you. Yes. Amen. Let's stand tonight. We're just... So Brother Robert is interpreted for me. He's a preacher of... He doesn't need to interpret for somebody else. He can preach and preach the house down. But real humble and a very, very effective translator. Just gets right in the same channel, the same inspiration. And it just, whoever's speaking, you're not even having to think about that hardly. And so, and that's a gift. And we appreciate our brother yielding to that and surrendering. And it's a great service. So. That he's a preacher in his own right, so we thank the Lord, and we really do need to have you come and just take a service for us here at some point. It's been too long, and we would certainly be blessed. So,
amen. That's right.
Praise his wonderful name. So, as our brother prepares to come tonight, are you ready to pull on the word once again?
Yes, sir.
Believe the Lord has what you need. And,
absolutely.
Amen. Amen. We just love him so much. And so I would normally just sing a song and have you come up, but I'm just going to have you come up because we've taken too much time and we want to give you as much time. I don't want to make you nervous. I want to give you as much time to minister the word tonight. Amen. And there's an atmosphere here tonight. And anything could happen, right? And I expect great things. Amen. Amen. God bless you, my brother.
God bless you. Amen. Thank you, Brother Doug. I'll just have the musicians stay, and I'm just going to have you have your seats for a moment to give you a testimony. Can I do that?
Yeah, sure.
And we're trying a new microphone out tonight. Are we doing okay?
Yep.
Brother Figueroa spoke on forgiveness this morning. I asked him what he spoke on, And I think we heard about forgiveness this morning, didn't we? But there was a brother that sat right over here this morning. His name is Brother Dan Evans. And he worked for Voice of God Recordings for many years, and he has family in Tucson. And I knew Brother Doug that he would probably know the man and his wife and probably the phone number of the deacon and the Sunday school teacher that we heard about this morning. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that this morning? The Sunday school teacher was in trouble. The deacon was in trouble. But through a prophet, the Lord brought a reconciliation. Well, sure enough, this afternoon, Brother Dan had to be at the tabernacle tonight. But he gave me a phone call. And the name of that deacon, brother, I got to put on my glasses, is Brother Wilbert Shane. And his wife's name, the Sunday school teacher, is Mary Shane. And that man not only was remained with his wife, I wanted y'all to hear this, and they know not, they remained together, but he became the pastor of that church, Brother Johnson's church. Years later, he became a minister and pastored that church. Well, that was Brother Dan Evans. He has a grandpa, and his name is Carl Wheeler. And actually, it was a cousin of Mary Shane. So he's related to Brother Dan Evans. It was family. And Brother Dan Evans that sat here this morning talked to that man many, many times. And he lived to, he was 99 years old, and he died 5 years ago. One day before he was 100 years old. But he stayed with his wife and he pastored the same church, and he retired at 85 years old. And Brother Dan Evans said he talked to him many, many times. And when we were just speaking this morning, he just said, he was a relative of him. So isn't that amazing? You know, and all the songs that we heard this morning and tonight, you know, I'm sure if that sister and brother would have been at a service like tonight after that event, don't you think they'd have been shouting and praising God? What kind of service would that have been to know that God had recovered them? And even this afternoon, my heart was just overwhelmed that God would have so much, like he was stretching his tent of grace and mercy over men and women that would love him. What about you and me? God's interested in you. Are you interested in him? And to think that many of you have gone through great battles and troubles and in your personal life and things we can't even say publicly, but God knows about that. And he predestinated this weekend to be a shower of blessing and a time of refreshing for you. I love you, Brother Robert Figueroa. I love you, this assembly. Love, divine fellowship. You mean a lot to me. You might not know me, but I know you. Because I stream your services. I love your pastor. He's been like a pastor to me. So I sense your love for him. And I love him too. And your singing and the atmosphere you create has gone out over the miles. And I want to thank you for that. Now tonight we spoke, this morning we spoke on recovery from spiritual heart trouble. Tonight I want to speak on interested in relationship. Again, another personal message and something that would just come to your heart. So thank you, musicians. Let's give them a round of applause as they've been a blessing to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can turn to the book of Esther. I know it's a hard book to find, but one of your choir members said they only knew one song. I thought, really? Well, they sang two tonight, so surely they know another one, maybe another one. They know more than that. I said, just stand up there and sing, you know. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. How many believe we ought to be able to enjoy church? Yeah. My brother Dan Evans sat here this morning, and his son is Daniel, and I think he's 19 years old, and his dad had him on speakerphone this afternoon. He said, "Ma, that was great. We really enjoyed church." I said, "We should enjoy church. Yeah. Church shouldn't be boring." Yeah. I believe serving the Lord is fantastic. Yeah. So let's stand to our feet tonight and turn to the book of Esther. This is where this message came from, the book of Esther in the Old Testament, chapter 2. And as we just find our place and quieten ourselves and bow our heads, who would just like the Lord to speak to you tonight? And Lord, we've laid aside everything else in our lives today. We're not at a stadium in downtown Tucson. We didn't go to Starbucks or EG's. We're not having a spa afternoon. We're here in your house.
Amen.
We love you. We love your appearing. We love the believers. And we're eagles, and we love to dig deep down into the things of your word and find things for our souls and our spirits. And you sent your word and it healed the people. Lord, we don't want to just talk about you. We don't want to just talk about spiritual things. We want to speak the mind of Christ and say the things that you would say, Lord, amongst your disciples and amongst sisters and brothers. Lord, if I would ask who in this room at some time in their life they've contemplated suicide or taken their own life, I think it would shock most of us to know that a lot of us have gone through deep valleys. We've seen the end of the road. It's been dark. There's been situations in our lives and hearts can be broken, but hearts can be mended. We're going to be battle-scarred veterans when we make it there. We're not going to just be a lot of smooth-skinned people that had an easy road. Life isn't a picnic. They say life is good, but we know as Christians that life isn't always fair. And many times there's things that happen in our lives that we just have to commit to you. Pick up our helmet, brush off our goggles as it was, and just keep pressing on. But Lord, these are times of refreshing and times of renewal that when we hear the word, we want it to have an effect in our lives, and we don't want to shove it off to somebody else. But if you are working with someone else, we want to have patience and maturity that even if it's not for us, that we can just create an atmosphere of your presence so that that person can be healed. Deliver us from evil. Walk up and down the aisles and talk to us along this road tonight, I pray, and may our hearts burn within us that we would see Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In Esther chapter 1, we find the queen, Vashti, had the spirit of, she was a feminist, we would have called her, and she didn't want to appear and be subject to her husband. So that's where Esther kind of comes into the story in Esther chapter 2. Esther's a type of you and I. Verse 1. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, under the custody of Haggai, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them. And let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Now in Shushan the palace there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai. Let's all say Mordecai.
Mordecai.
He's a type of the elder in the message. Been around for a while. The son of Jeir, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with, and you can see how Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried them away. Verse 7, watch this story and don't miss this. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter. So that was actually his cousin. His uncle's daughter was actually his cousin. For she had neither father nor mother. And the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So Esther didn't have an easy background. Esther couldn't say, her father, her mother, my family. She came from a broken home. She was an orphan. But she didn't use her past for an excuse about what God wanted to do in her life now. And friends, please, let's not despise the goodness of the Lord by using our past as an excuse when God is trying to show us our future is clear, our future is bright, and His wife is making herself ready. That's the book of Revelation. So now we see, that's Revelation chapter 19, His wife is making herself ready. I'm speaking about relationship. So remember, the relationship of Hadassah, Esther, with Mordecai, he was the older one and she was younger. He had raised her because her father and mother had died. Look in verse 8. I hope you're not too tired from standing. So it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decrees was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together into Shushan, the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also into the king's house to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. Don't you want to obtain kindness of the Lord? You have. And he speedily gave her her things for purification. Or whatever you have need of, he's given it to you. With such things as belong to her, 7 maidens. I'm sure most of you would like to have that. You know, servants and things which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best part of the house of the women. 2 more verses. Hold these things in your heart. Esther had not showed her people, because she was a Jew, nor her kindred. For Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. Verse 11 is our verse tonight. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the woman's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Now that sounds very simple, but when I read that a few weeks ago for the service tonight, something began to move in my heart about interested. He was interested. He was interested in her life, interested in her well-being. God bless you, you can have your seats tonight. It's amazing as we look, take one verse and can take a whole sermon out of a verse. Right. Mordecai was an elder in the message, but he had raised Esther. My, I'm sure his love was fond and gentle toward her, knowing her father and mother had been taken. And we can try to fill the void in one another's lives, but we can never really take that place. But Mordecai had been like his presence, made her strong. His presence gave her courage. And now she's a teenager. You that know the history, Esther was just a teenager when she became king, queen. I don't know if you know that. But Esther was a teenage queen and walked and was now beautiful before Ahasuerus. Verse 11, I want to show this to you again as this message for tonight came from this one verse. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the woman's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. He wanted to be involved. He was interested. And I think sometimes that's a failure of us as parents. And I wonder tonight, even as a church and as an assembly, or even as a friend you are to maybe someone else, even as ministers or musicians, are we really interested? Do we show the kind of love for one another, the kind of involvement
for one another. Maybe tonight's service is the Lord stirring part of his nature in your own heart to show a little bit more interest. I'm not saying be nosy and gossip. I'm talking about Mordecai was involved. He was walking around. He wanted to know. And as some of you might read in the next few chapters, he listened and heard Bigthan and Teresh make a threat against the king to take his life. And it was actually Mordecai that told the king's servants, and they killed those two men that later, years later, when Haman built the gallows and the king couldn't sleep that night and they read the book of the Chronicles, they read about this Mordecai that had told this to the king. It was right around this season when Mordecai was making sure that Esther was aware and walking as she should, that he saved the king's life, that actually Ahasuerus promoted and was a blessing to Mordecai later in his life because of something he had did. He was interested. Amen. Hallelujah. Interested means that you're showing interest. Don't you find that interesting? To show someone interest means that it's something that you desire. You're interested in this relationship. You're pursuing a relationship means it's something that's close. It's to actually be in a ship together. That's fellowship. But relationship is showing a togetherness. Somehow there's something that's coming out from you. And I trust you're thinking spiritually. We're in a long-term relationship with the Lord Jesus. Amen. This isn't a quick fling. We're not being flirters. The Lord doesn't flirt with you on Sunday morning, flirt with you Sunday night, and then we go to school and we go to work and he kind of puts his bride out here to live our lives. God's not a flirter. Hallelujah. And neither are we. We don't say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. And kind of have some spiritual thing. And then we just go back to our relationship through the week. This is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, 365. We're not here for a weekend fling. This isn't a momentary blessing that we just need to take a drink like you would at the bar, take some drugs. I think cannabis, marijuana has become legal in Arizona. It's legal in Washington State. People are looking for appeasement. They're looking for satisfaction. They're looking for something that'll just take away that momentary hurt and the emotional pain. How do I deal with the stress? You know, how do I go through my life without having something? I need something. Well, what do you do for pleasure? You know, we got Jesus. Amen. Just take a good dose of the Holy Ghost, you know. Amen. Well, I'm laying here tonight like in the hospital bed and trying to find a vein. I was there a few weeks ago with Sister Karen Pruitt, and we prayed for her the week before with Brother Donnie Reagan and Brother Ron Spencer. And the family, we were there a week before, and then we flew in and was part of her memorial service. But they were trying to find a vein before and to put in the certain things and test her. You know, it comes to a certain time of our lives when, friends, we need to just make sure our relationship is right with the Lord before we lose our minds or before our health goes so far that there's an accident or there's a something where we're just down, you know, like the man was talking about, you know, I think it was in the war and someone had been shot and they were dying, you know, or where did you leave him? Where did you leave the Lord? Do you know the Lord? Well, I left the Lord. Well, when did you leave him? Well, you better find him. Where did you leave him? Well, and he began to think, and it was now I lay me down to sleep. He didn't really have a relationship with the Lord. Friends, this is what it's all about. It's not the Sunday morning, the Sunday night, the Wednesday night. Brother John isn't more concerned, and I know your pastor and Brother Andy and Brother Eli isn't so interested in the momentary slot we have or the sermon. It's Monday. We're thinking of next Tuesday. We're thinking of Wednesday morning at 11, what our people in the message are going through. We want to deliver messages that aren't just momentary blessings and a weekend fling. But we're talking about eternal life. We're talking about forever. We want you to live in a future home with us for eternity. Heaven is a long time. It's worth a momentary life of trouble for an eternity filled of bliss. So don't get so narrowed in that you got to have it all good and you got to have it all this. And if your relationship breaks, then you break. Or if you don't make a lot of money, then it's like you just kind of get out of sorts. Or if you don't, you know, your plans and dreams don't come to pass. And this isn't even in my notes, but it's got to go beyond that. It has gone beyond that. We're interested tonight. Hallelujah. Can we put up on the screen Psalms chapter 103 verse 13? As you'd like to maybe write this down and wonder where ministers get these inspirations and thoughts. In Psalms 103 verse 13. Is everybody doing okay? Amen. Let me just give you this quote while they're finding the Psalms 103:13. Brother Branham said in 1962, thank you, brothers, you can leave that up. A woman who is interested in her children, interested in her neighbors, her husband, her loved ones, it's God in the woman expressing eternal things. Hallelujah. Even if it's not received like that from the other end, it's still our great responsibility and joy. A mother who is interested in her children, interested in her neighbors, interested in her husband, her loved ones. It's God in the woman expressing eternal things. So you wonder why sisters are made up a certain way and brothers are made up different. I'm sure y'all know that, right? Men are different from women. Did y'all know that? It's amazing the world. They're a woman one day and a man the next day, and they're trying to find themselves and they want to change their gender and they want to change their sex. Let me tell you what, God's not confused about what you are. I think I'm this today, so I'll go in this bathroom, and maybe tomorrow I'll go in that bathroom. No, that's called demon possession. Has nothing to do with the Holy Ghost and nothing to do with you finding yourself. You're down the wrong road. God made you exactly what He wanted you to be. Stop trying to be someone else. Hallelujah. Is that okay? I'm not even on my notes, Brother Doug. Hallelujah. Some of you must have been needing that or something. Somebody on the internet. Oh, Lord, help us. Psalms 103, verse 13. Interested. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. It's amazing. Because for many years, people thought a father should be stern. He should be harsh. He should be the one that toes the line. For many years, the world said real men don't cry. And they made all these false things that we found out as time goes on, that's not even true. Real men cry. Real fathers pity their children. They speak kindly to them. Well, Satan is so harsh. That's why there's something, at least in me, because we've dealt with thousands of believers over our lifetime. I hate to know that Satan would abuse one of God's children. Amen. You do too, Brother Doug? I think that there's a lot of wounded, hurt believers that God has called to be sons and daughters of His. and it's not stern, cutting, hanging people over hell kind of messages that we need to keep our relationship with the Lord right. That might have been years ago, but as we've come further in our relationship, as you that are older know that have been married, times change and seasons change, but the love and the relationship only gets deeper. Watch the father's pity for his children, so the Lord, or the same as, the Lord pitieth them. And that word fear doesn't mean like he's going to hit you if you do something wrong. It's a respect. To those that respect him, the Lord pities you. Hallelujah. Feel the presence of the Lord come into the room. And hear ye him in Phoenix. Brother Branham said the world's looking for something today. When your wife told you she'd be your sweetheart and wife, she was looking for somebody to love her. And when you promised your husband, he was looking for somebody when he come in tired and weary from working all day, some little wife to put her arms around him and kindly, kindly brush his hair back and tell him how much she loved him. That's what causes separation in families, is the neglect of love. That's what causes separation in churches, neglect of love. I'm quoting your prophet. He didn't say you didn't love the person. And this is where it gets really fine-tuning here. You say, but I love them and I love them. It's neglect of love. It's neglecting love. It's when you should have said the right word, you just were too busy. You neglected your marriage. You neglected your motherhood. You neglected, it's not that you weren't a mother, but you neglected those eternal attributes that God was wanting to anoint in your life, as Brother Robert said, by prayer. Right. We get into his presence, and if you're a husband, I mean, we all feel like failures. Sure. At some time in your life, financially, as a husband, as a father, you feel like a failure. Sure. I'm not going to ask for a raising of hands because probably be all of us. Yeah. There's going to be times in our life when you feel like a failure. Right. Brother Branham is kind of pointing. I'm speaking about relationships tonight. That that's what causes separation in families, is neglect of love. Yeah. Yeah. It can be there, but you neglect it. Yeah. You're giving more attention to something else that really doesn't matter than what you should be. Who cares about tires? Who cares about what color the wall is? If you don't have love, if your home is... anybody can have a house, but it's a home that we're desiring. And relationship, he said, that's what causes it. Separation in churches is neglect of love. I say, God, this is called love divine fellowship, but don't let it be a name on a sign. Let it be really the heartbeat of this congregation. I wonder what some of you would do if you had a deacon that you found out had committed sin in France some years ago and then had committed sin 3 days ago and you found out about it. What that would happen in your heart? Oh, I just... I wonder how many would have... I always knew something. No, you didn't know that. You just have a bad attitude. Then you wonder why when you get down to pray and when you have a fault and it's just a struggle to receive, it's because you're not walking in repentance. I wonder if we had a Sunday school teacher that we found out what had made this kind of error, I wonder what your attitude would be toward her from that day on. I trust there'd be enough Holy Ghost that we'd be interested. You know, you can get more out of buying someone a coffee and being a friend to them. Love stretched out a little bit can heal a wound. I preached kind of long this morning, and that was my last two quotes.
And Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. 63. Brother Branham said, God heals in many ways. A doctor asked me not long ago, said, what's your opinion of medicine, Brother Branham? I said, well, God is the only one that can heal, sir. And the Bible doesn't lie. The Bible said, I am the Lord that heals all your diseases. I said, God heals by medicine. How many believe God heals tonight? I'm going to just focus in on a part of the relationship if you're interested. Now, if you have no need of a physician, you just drive right by the hospital for years. But you let something happen and you need to go to that hospital, all of a sudden you become interested. Brother Branham said, God heals by medicine. God heals by love. God heals by understanding. God heals by care. Let's all say care. God heals by care. You say, I really don't care what you... And that, you know what it is? You're showing you're not interested. You're neglecting a part of God that's in you. But you're letting that old nature... And if you were abused or you were taken advantage of, that was the devil trying to rob you of your life in Christ. You need to overcome that by saying, I'm not going to let that stop me. When I feel like not loving, I'm going to love anyway. Well, that brother don't deserve that, or that my sister, that sister, or my this. Well, you don't deserve it either. You don't deserve God's goodness either. You don't deserve heaven either. I don't either. Brother Doug don't either. Sister Victoria don't either. Come on, do I need to say all of our names? I mean, we don't deserve it. God rich in mercy. We ought to love much because God loves us much. And if you've been forgiven much, you should love even the more. And you say, well, I was raised in the message, or I didn't have that bad of a life. I wasn't like Esther, Brother John, that lost my husband, my father and mother. I was in a good home. Well, you need to ask the Lord to help you to be appreciative of that. And don't wake up when you're 28 years old and say, my, I had a good upbringing. I had a really good pastor. I had a really good church. No, we need to recognize that now while we got it and enjoy it. Yes. Friends, we're not in a pub somewhere. We're not at a baseball game. We're not at a football game with people that are drunkards and throwing beer. And oh, you say, well, we sit in the family section, Brother John. I'm not talking about that. You have no relationship with those players out there. Right. Yes, I do, brother. Property. Oh. The Tucson Bobcats, you know, whatever. They could care less about your family, your marriage, your children. They got their big earrings. They're making their millions. They take off their shirts and they're all tattooed up and they're not interested in you. Ask God. I think the brother that was praying tonight prayed it just perfectly. Lord, put it in our hearts. Put it in our hearts. The kind of love we need to have. Are we doing okay? God heals. He sent his word and healed the people. Take the medicine. You know, I had acne all over my face when I was a boy. I was a teenager, just acne all over. And I had to take medicine and my mother had to hold me. And I had big sores and put this medicine on. And then when I got a teenager, I had to put these the antibiotics thing and smash it with a spoon and put it in my mouth. It was gross, you know. But and even as believers, we need to just take the word and take the medicine. And even if we disagree, we need to ask the doctor, ask the Lord, is that going to help me? And he says, yes, it's the gospel. God heals by care. God heals by prayer. God heals by miracles. The whole thing is God heals. That's He is the healer. There's no medicine that will build tissue. Only God. I'm still quoting. Life builds tissue. God is the only healer, and we were talking on that. He was talking about God heals by care. And it was so strong on Brother Branham, he went back to Jeffersonville from Hot Springs, Arkansas, and he in just less than a month, and he goes right through it again. He said, I hope that each one of you get that, especially you people that's to be prayed for, that's so uncomfortable this morning with maybe troubles that doctors cannot touch. He said, we believe that doctors help people.
Yeah. Right.
We believe that God heals by medicine.
Yeah. Right. Right.
God heals by surgery.
Sure.
Does anybody know the title of this message? He cares. Do you care?
Yeah.
It so impacted Brother Branham that God heals by care. He comes back to Jeffersonville, and now he's saying it again.
Yeah.
That means we got to get it.
Yeah.
Are you interested? You say, well, we really want to know what it takes to have a real life in Christ. You heard it this morning and you're hearing it tonight. God heals by medicine. God heals by surgery. God heals by understanding. God heals by love. Just a little love goes a long way. Just let somebody be all upset and just show them you care for them. I care about you, sister. I care about you, brother, even though you told me to go to the office. I care about you. Hallelujah. Somebody said one time, people don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. I was with some ministers a couple weeks ago, and they said, oh, it was Mother Teresa said that. That didn't sound right with me, so I found out who it was. It wasn't Mother Teresa. People don't really care what you know till they know how much you really care. Do you care? Don't just tell me in words. Show me by your life. But when God shows you by his life and by his life around you, don't despise that. As we heard this morning out of Romans, don't despise the goodness of God. He's trying to take your hand and lead you to where you need to go. Stop. I don't need that. Stop lacking discernment to know that's the Holy Spirit that is talking to you. You know, we're so hard-headed sometimes. We so miss the moving of the Holy Spirit when he had it all programmed and ordained to talk to you. Receive that. Sometimes it gets really quiet because God's honed right in like a missile. And we didn't come expecting it to be like that. And God said, you know what? You didn't wake up expecting this, but here I am, and I'm going to say it the way it is. And we're like, wow. Brother John doesn't have a clue what's going on in my life. You're absolutely right. But the Holy Spirit does. I just happen to believe in a fivefold ministry that's on the earth that God can lay his thoughts. Weeks ago, Brother Mike, this was laid on my heart. I have the notes right here in my little study in Washington to preach tonight. Somebody needs to hear this tonight. That as Mordecai was interested in Esther, God's interested in you. Do you believe that? So he'll lay it on a man's heart. He'll get it on his spirit. He'll get him burdened to say what you need to hear. God heals. So all of it should work together. And men in different ministries, I'm quoting, men in different ministries should work together for that. What's he talking about? Healing. He said they don't do it because sometimes they're forbidden to take certain stands upon God's word because their certain denominations don't permit them to do that. But that doesn't stop the truth just the same. God goes on healing just the same. And I'm just going to say this personal. I want to be in a church where the Holy Ghost can be free to say and do whatever he wants to do. Because I'm interested on getting out of here. Anybody else interested? Brother Branham said this, there's such a falling away. People are not interested like they used to be.
There's a falling away and a drifting. Have you all noticed that?
Yes.
Over the years, they're just not interested. They used to be able to go for hours. It used to be people's attention span and their love just kept them, and they'd worship and praise. And now their minds are already about work tomorrow and what we got to do for the children and what I'm going through. They're not interested. In another message, Brother Branham said he's interested in trees. He's interested in fish. He's interested in you. He's interested in me. He's interested to see his word made manifest. So if you have a need, God is interested to see that you go from needy to being strong. And let me tell you what, friends, you might not never know on this side why that happened in your life. Stop spending all of your effort and your mind and your spirit trying to get wrapped around this thing when you might not never know till we cross over. Can you lay it down tonight and say, you know what? I'm just letting that go. I'm interested in a relationship with God, and it's just too much baggage. In another message, I believe that he's more interested in us than we could be. He said, and he's talking about having sympathy. Do you remember the family where the young people actually, I think they killed someone and it was manslaughter, but they were going to commit them to the electric chair. And Brother Branham, and they had a certain meeting, I think it was Houston.
Yeah, it was.
And Brother Branham said, I have sympathy with the parents of these children, and I'm shoulder to shoulder. It would be like, oh, well, you know, they did that and that was bad and probably a bad parent, right? And a bad church. Well, Brother Branham didn't have that attitude. He wanted to have sympathy with the parents of these children, and he went like shoulder to shoulder. After the seals, he said, the gospel, it attracts those who are interested in it. Those who are not interested. So he's talking about the gospel and how it attracts, like a magnet, those that are interested in it. And then he talks about those that are not interested. Can you believe it? People are not interested. I had my little time, let's go. They're not interested. There's not an interest. Can we put on the screen Psalms 95 verse 8? Together. The Bible says in Psalms 95 verse 8, harden not your heart. As in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation. Said it's a people that do err in their heart. They've not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath, they should not enter into my rest. Why were they hardened? Because of what they had saw, what they had gone through, and the water of myrrh. And let's go back to verse 8. Here's the word from David. Harden not your heart. Whatever you've gone through, don't let your heart get hardened. Now, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8. Paul picked this up in the New Testament. Are we doing okay?
Yes.
I'm talking about your interest. You cannot be interested and have a good relationship if your heart's hardened.
Right.
I'm not going to love you the way I should if I'm hardened towards you.
Right.
Hello?
There's
all kinds of walls. There's all kinds of feelings. And Paul said in Hebrews 13, verse 8, they're helping me back there, harden not your hearts.
Yep.
Hebrews 3, verse 8, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, while it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 7, Hebrews 4, verse 7. I have to put this in here, speaking about relationships. Say, I'm not interested.
Well, you just said my heart is hardened towards you. That's just what you said. All right, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, what's he talking about? Psalms chapter 95, verse 8, that we just read. I read it for you. What he said in David. Today, after so long a time as it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. I feel like I'm plowing a little bit right now. Are y'all doing okay?
Yes.
Don't let what's happened in your past give you a hardened heart. It will destroy you. Don't become bitter against life. And because a man hurt you does not mean that all men are bad and you can never trust another man. That's a lie from the devil. And just because a certain woman was a certain way with you, strong and dominating, don't make all women bad. So stop talking to all the sisters so harshly. Woo. Harden not your heart means don't become so fixed in your life where you're not flexible. You know what I'm doing tonight? I'm giving everyone free counseling. This is free. The counselor's in. You're too rigid. You're too stubborn. Oh my, they in the book of Acts, they stoned Stephen because you're wicked and you're stiff-necked like your father. We're not stiff-necked. The first martyr was Stephen, gave his life because he told the message people they were stiff-necked. Do y'all know what stiff-necked is? I'm not going to move. I'm not going to praise. I'm not going to just do. You stiff neck until they crossed a line. They picked up stones and bashed in his head. And you know what Stephen did? Because he had the Holy Ghost. He started saying what Jesus said on the cross. Father, forgive them. Father, they're bashing in his brains. Father, forgive them. You know why? Because he'd entered into a relationship. He was interested. And if you believe the Bible, those sins aren't committed to them. Because he forgave them. So powerful, it affected a man over in the corner. They were throwing all their clothes on. His name was Saul. And he's watching all this. This man, they're bashing in his brains. And Saul's sitting over there. Well, I didn't throw no stones. Well, you sat over there. And they're bashing in Brother Stephen's brains. And he's saying, I see the angels coming. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And he's like, wow. And he remembered that. And God used Saul became Paul when he got knocked off his high horse. God changed Saul became Paul. He just needs to change us. Harden not your heart. Why are you so stiff and you're not flexible? You become stubborn. You become hard. You become fierce and rough and stern of things in your life, brothers, of things in your family, toward your children, toward your wife. You become stern. You become fierce. You become violent. You take offense. You're just not able to tolerate. That is what David and what Paul is saying. Don't let your heart be hardened. Don't let it go that way. And when you see these things coming up in your spirit, that's when you need to go to prayer. In the world, you would have started cussing, swearing. I know not the man, and no, it wasn't me. That was Peter before the Holy Ghost. And sometimes as believers, you get in a situation, and I'm saying this to you tonight, don't let your heart get hardened. And some of you just need to pray, Lord, I need you to put your heart back into me. I've just got to admit, I don't love you the way I should. My heart's not there, but the Lord is going to have to put it there. I mean, why not just say it? He's a creator. I got one brother. Amen. God's a creator. You say, well, Brother John, I never had love. I didn't know how to express it. I wasn't in a certain family. Well, tonight's a good night to start.
The devil's telling you're a loser, and you're hearing from the word you're a winner. The devil's saying, why don't you take your life? Life isn't worth living. And you're hearing from the word, there's a life to live, and God wants to do things through your life, and no one can take your place. This isn't the power of positive speaking. This is the word of God. And I'm saying, let there be. And there is. Let there be life. Let there be healing. Let there be forgiveness. And there is. Why? Because I'm under a ministry that's anointed by God to not just preach sermons and quote, but they are saying, thus saith the Lord, like a lightning bolt. It's coming into my life, and it's breaking up all the rebellion and all the hurt and all the trouble, and I'm going to get after that person. You just dropped your stones. Hallelujah. A few weeks ago, some of you might have heard on the news, over in Europe, they were having a soccer tournament, the Euro soccer match. And there was a Denmark team that was playing against Finland. This is the World Soccer Tournament. And during the game, I think it was the 41st minute, I believe, one of the Danish soccer players collapsed. His name was Christian Eriksen, and they had to resuscitate him on the field. He collapsed on the field. He suffered a cardiac arrest. He was 29 years old. He was running well. He was playing well. Something happened in his heart. Now, this is a bridge from this morning about recovering from spiritual heart trouble. I'm bringing it into the night service. Here's a man that was strong. He was running. And all of a sudden, his heart goes into cardiac arrest. His heart stopped. And he had to be resuscitated with a defibrillator. This is literally 2 months from this past week, this happened. One article said they revived him. They brought him back. Now, I thought, I'm not just giving a soccer announcement or something. I thought, Brother Andy, as I read this, if a natural player of a soccer game can be revived and brought back to life, can the spiritual life of a person be revived and brought back to life? Yes. Amen. A person that is running well and they're serving, all of a sudden something happens, knocks them off their feet, puts them down. I mean, that was the end for the soccer player. All his soccer teammates, they linked their arms together around him as the medics were working on him. And they silence in the stadium. And for weeks to follow and the games to follow, it inspired the team because he was brought back. He had to be with a defibrillator and recessed. But I was thinking not on the natural, but spiritually, a person that has lost their love. They've lost their drive. They've lost their reason to get up and live. If a natural player can come back to life, is it possible that the Holy Spirit would breathe into a situation? Breathe into a man. Breathe. How long does that take, Brother John? Well, for this man, he needed that oxygen. He needed his heart to come back, and it started beating again. And they rejoice. Well, I think as believers, when Satan tries to hit one of our brothers or sisters or at you, there ought to be faith and an encouragement to say what God did in the natural, he can do in the spiritual. He can bring a revival. Where if the paper said they revived him, they brought him back. What a testimony about that Sunday school teacher. Would you agree? God brought her back. He reached into the gable end of her soul and brought something out of her subconscious and brought her down. She thought she had made it right with the Lord. And Brother Branham said, you made it right with the Lord, but it was your husband. Oh, I cannot do that. She was encouraged by a prophet. That's what you need to do. Then when she said, I just can't, I'll die. He'll leave me. I'll lose my children. Sister Meda encouraged her. Do you remember the phone call? You remember them meeting?
Right.
What the husband, the deacon that was living in sin, and that's why Brother Johnson couldn't have a revival in his church, because the deacon was living in sin. Back in France, and then 3 days before, he's driving and he's at his house now, and he gets the call, and within minutes, his wife is confessing. And because of that atmosphere, he confesses. Hello.
Amen.
They repent to one another, and that's what brought healing. It brought him back. Then they could have prayer, and that spirit of torment, just watch the progression. The spirit of torment that had been on our precious sister was able to be lifted off. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be fantastic if last night someone in the morning service or night service was being tormented by the devil, but by the end of tonight, we could say they are free. What happened? God breathed into them more than a sermon, more than a church service, more than the choir. God heals by music. It's the Spirit of God going out. Do y'all believe that tonight? Someone being moved. If a young lady, a teenager, raised in the message, can be so depressed and troubled that she's cutting herself. And it happens. There's another young lady that was going to public school and raised in the message, and she also was cutting herself. Some of you that are older are familiar with that. It's a spirit that gets on a person. And it's not a clean spirit. It's a dark spirit. And she was cutting herself, and then it came to the surface, and by God's grace, God delivered her. And there sometimes has to be drastic action done. But today she's married and has four wonderful boys serving the Lord. Hallelujah. That's a testimony. That is a young lady that can say, praise be to God. I once used to be that way, but God gave me hope. Thank God for that sermon. Thank God for that brother. Thank God for that sister. Thank God for that person that was interested. My brother David lives in some property out in near Jeffersonville, out in the suburbs there. Is this okay, Brother Doug? And little testimony. And last year, he saw this mother deer that was walking, kind of halting. She'd been hit by maybe a car or a truck or maybe a coyote or something had gotten, and she just was walking, limping. She was wounded. But then in a matter of days, there was a little fawn laying out in the grass. And it spoke of new life. It spoke of a new day. She didn't just go and lay over in a ditch and die. You know, no daddy dear will ever love me again. But she pressed on. She, even in her pain and suffering, she brought forth a little fawn. And that was wonderful. What a story. And he shared that with our family, Chad. And it was such an inspiration. Well, this year, again, she's back. The same mother's back, and she's limping and limping in the grass and in his neighborhood. And within a matter of days, here's another little fawn. That just happened a few weeks ago. It spoke of new life. A mother that was looking beyond the hurt and beyond my pain. I'm interested in life. I'm interested in my children. I'll say this nicely in animal language, deer language. I'll make love to you, daddy deer, and we'll bring forth another little baby. There will be another day. There will be another future. She rose above the hurt and the accident or the growl. And there was other life. I just thought, praise be to God. If a mother deer can have that kind of inspiration.
Amen.
What about men and women that have souls that can be moved on by God? Surely we can have enough grace to turn the page and believe there's another chapter in this book. There's another chapter for you, brother. Sister, I'm giving you hope tonight. If God can do that for a mother deer, He can do that for you. Yes. Press on. Live on. Amen. Give your life to Christ. Amen. We live near the ocean there. Up there in Washington State and Vancouver Island, and there's great big orca whales, those black and white big orca whales. How many know what I'm talking about? And they jump up in the air. Just a few years ago, we took Brother Tim Pruitt and some of the brothers, Timothy Pruitt, and some of the ministers there. We took them out on a whale watch, and it was so fantastic. I mean, you see the whales, and they're jumping. It's like, yes. But there was a story, because they have pods, and they have groups of these whales, and there was a mama killer whale that had brought forth a little baby. Life is precious. Life is tender. We get too hasty in our life. Even as believers, we can get our schedule filled up and we can become nasty and rude. You need to take a break. You're losing your mind. You're losing your senses. That's why church is good. Coming back to our right senses again. This mother killer whale brought forth a little baby and it died. But for days after days, this mother was videoed and pictured pushing the little baby through the water, on her nose. There's pictures, and I could show you on the screen. I have them on my computer of this killer whale mother pushing its little baby, Brother Eli, day after day after day. I think it was 16 days, over 2 weeks, because the water was cold and the little baby was dead. But the mother still had that desire for life. Live, baby, live, baby. I carried you, and you were born, and there's no life, there's no breath, but I want you to live. And she pushed it with her nose for days upon days, overnight, through the day. It turned into weeks. It was that drive. It was that love. She was interested. She had a connection. I wonder if for some of us, we see that in nature, God's first Bible. But I wonder sometimes if we lose that in life. The ones we should love the most, we take for granted the most. The ones that we are closer around, we hurt the most. It's just the way Satan does. He just works up everything and we start taking it out on things around us, when really the ones we hurt the most is those of our family, those that are our friends, and those in our church. It's just the devil. He's robbing us of relationship. He's robbing us of our interest. Don't let your heart become hardened tonight. Are we doing okay? Something else was in my heart, Brother Jude, about this time when I was studying this uninterested, because in visitation, and certain ones we would see that had Alzheimer's or had dementia, wonderful believers. One of them has passed away since, and another is just in the last days of their life. A dear mother, a pastor's mother, actually. I begin to think, not just naturally, but spiritually, how a person can lose their minds. And that's what dementia is. That's what amnesia is. That's, Brother Branham talked about spiritual amnesia. How many's heard that message? But I begin to think about spiritual Alzheimer's, where a person can actually lose the ability to recall facts or previous experiences. It's a condition. Dementia is, it's progressive, where a person becomes persistent in their loss. of their intellectual functioning, their memory becomes impaired, their abstract thinking, and often their personality changes. It's actually a disease in their brain. It's dementia. It's Alzheimer's. And I have pictures on my iPad and my notes here to show you the brain and how that. And they're still trying to study that, how to slow it down. And we know exercise and we know certain things can in your life. They're trying to find what is the reason for loss of memory, and where you can be looking right at somebody that you've been raised around your whole life and don't know their name. How can this happen? And it's happening in the message. Even with ministers or people of elders or sisters or brothers. And it's very rough on the family to go through this. My grandfather had Alzheimer's, and it gets to a place where they're functioning. What should just be normal, what you learn from a baby to become an adolescent becomes just very easy. They can't even take care of themselves. It's very embarrassing. It's just not the person that they were in their prime. And now they just look at you and stare. Right. Yeah. And they need care. They don't even know their children. Don't even know their family. And it gets worse and worse. And it's horrible. But I begin to think, Brother Jude, about spiritual dementia, spiritual Alzheimer's. And I don't want to get too personal, but there's something called menopause. But it can happen, spiritual menopause, where a person that used to be vibrant and regular and things used to be alive, and they come to a certain season of their life, and it's a changing time, and it's a season where it's not the way it used to be. And nobody likes to talk about it. And nobody likes to even go there. And don't you dare say someone's got menopause, you know. And I'm at a midlife crisis. Or don't you dare. You know, they might be going and have all the symptoms. You better not say it, brother. I'm just helping you, okay? Her best friend can say it to her, but not you. Or you got a doghouse, that's probably where you're going to need to be sleeping in the doghouse. Amen. But as we get older, and Brother Branham says teenagers, they go through things, and you got to bear with them. Then he talked about sisters going through menopause, and he said men go through it the same as women, and we've got to bear with one another through these times. Do you know in the message of the hour, the bride is at that season? We're not in the 50s and 60s when the message was being delivered, when the churches were coming and they were lively, and the bride marched down the aisle and there was life and there was witnessing and there was global. It was just global revival. The bride is years down the road now. There is spiritual menopause in the message, and nobody wants to talk about it. But it's real. And really the answer is a person just finally relaxfully saying, it's the truth. Amen. Like Brother Doug is saying, you know, I'm forgetting, I'm getting, but and people, no, I got it all together, bless God. And well, brother, we're all getting older. Amen. I think I better move along. It's a change of life. I'm talking about relationships and people being interested in one another. Brother Branham talked about calling your dad or your father the old man. Is that the right word? Call it my old man. He said you shouldn't do that. He said when the creaking of the wheels are going down the aisle in a casket, it won't be your old man then. It's your father, your lovely father, your mother. Or she's an old hag, she's an old bag. It won't be that way the day that you're putting her in the ground. And is there any of the children that would like to put some dirt down on the casket? And some bring balloons. I've done a lot of funerals. I've been at a lot of funerals. And maybe the children, they let off the balloons. Or maybe there was, would anyone like to come and put some dirt on the casket or put a rose down on the casket? It's the end of a life.
Right.
Have we lost our feeling? Have we lost our affection for one another? Brotherly kindness, which I think is on the front of this pulpit there, is brotherly kindness is what we ought to have before love settles down. But brotherly kindness is you putting yourself in another person's shoes on the matter. Well, that took a lot of effort. You're exactly right. You're supposed to get out of the way and get in their other shoes on the matter and start thinking 18-year-old thoughts. Well, I'm 68, Brother John, or I'm 46. And no, Brother Branham's talking to me about Rebecca that had just slammed the door. And he said, we've got to think 18-year-old thoughts, because he felt like taking off his belt and going after her. And Brother Branham had to just bring a little check to Mita, because Rebecca's born in a prophet's home. She's slamming the door. I don't want to be a wallflower the rest of my life. You know what a wallflower is? Somebody just sits around and I'm supposed to look pretty and be quiet. I don't want to be a wallflower. I'm going to go up and play rock and roll on the piano with my friend. Slams the door. Brother Branham said he felt like taking off his belt and going after her. But something is called the Holy Spirit said, we've got to think 18-year-old thoughts. He wanted her to just be in the office and be around the house. Our children are growing.
Right.
I don't know why I'm saying all this, but throughout COVID, your children and teenagers have grown.
Right.
And I know older ones think a certain way about health and all of that. But children think different. Young people think different. They don't like sitting around.
Right.
They don't know, wonder why everybody's so this certain way.
Right.
And if you're not careful, you'll lose your children.
Right.
You say, it was COVID, Brother John. No, it wasn't COVID.
No.
It was the devil, and you failed to adjust.
Right.
We need to adjust.
Right.
We need to show that we're interested.
Amen.
And I'm not going to get stuck in a rut.
Right.
We don't all think like you. We don't want to be you, but you don't want to be us. We're all on a journey. We got a lot of baggage. We're full of our past. But you cannot live on the future on the ashes of the past. You got to go on. You can't live like an eagle like this all the time. And you know, you're not a chicken. Spread your wings. There's room to fly. There's a hole. Jump off the mountain. You say, whoa, my Brother John. Listen, Brother John is not a thrill seeker. I'm not one of those people that ski. I just think a person that skis, you know, we got young people that ski and they snowboard. I think it's amazing. My wife does. She did it for our children. She'd get out there and jump off a mountain. I think it's crazy. I'm like, that's incredible. Jumping off a mountain and going down in ice, and you're just totally like, Brother Andy, I don't know. I'm not a thrill seeker. I go on rides, you know, and I get sick. You know, merry-go-rounds, a little roller coaster. I'm like, oh, you know, we try to go diving a little bit in my ears. We're just made up a certain way. But, you know, other people, they love it. They're into it. They're like, yes. That's fantastic. Is that how you are? Brother Mike, yeah. I mean, they just jump off. They're like Peter. They're like, give me the water. I'll walk on it. You know, they're just like out there. It's relationship. And we're not careful. We get stuck in our little, and then we become disinterested, and then we isolate ourselves. Good person, but nobody wants to be around you.
Right.
Now, spiritually, it shows that a person's lost interest. And listen, in Shalom, 1964, he reveals it to those who are listening who are interested. Talking about the symphony of the word. To you who wouldn't understand it or don't know nothing about it, you're not interested in it. He's talking about a symphony, the symphony of God's word, the drama. But to you who are interested, you listen for the change. The composer and those who are interested, listen for the change. We're listening
and we're watching. How many want to be faithful? My. The choir sang about faithful. Are you listening? Are you watching? In the other message, Shalom, this is January 19th. The only one that understands a symphony is, number one, the composer and those who are interested. Well, that bores me, Brother John. I just, symphonies. But you know what that is? It's proven. You play music to little children, they're smarter children. You didn't know that? You didn't know that. Play music around children, and especially symphony, those children are smarter. There's something in rhythm. There's something in the highs and the lows subconsciously. Well, I better move along. And Brother John came and preached psychology. No, it's the truth. Amen. In 1964, he said, where is the person and where is the people that's interested? That sigh and cry. Where's the burdened souls? Then he says, I've tried my best to tell you and lead you like a daddy would lead his children. Brother Branham was not nasty. You can tell by the illustration Brother John used this morning that he was long-suffering and trying to find the good, trying to reconcile, trying to bring people together. He wanted to see demons cast out. He wanted to see people better. Can the church say amen? Amen. That's the way we ought to be. Amen. Then where did we lose the goal? Where did we get off track? Where did we lose the burden? Where did the love go? We neglected it somewhere. We failed to water the plant. Last year you were watering your cactuses, I heard. This year God's watering them for you. So you ought to have more time. We had a wonderful prophet that he said, I've tried to lead you like a daddy would lead his children. Brother Branham was not an abusive preacher that force things down our throats. We serve the Lord because we love the Lord. Amen. Brother John's 49 years old. I've been raised in the message, raised in the Branham Tabernacle my whole life. My father's a minister. My wife is a wonderful lady that was also a minister's pastor's daughter. I have three children and three wonderful grandchildren that love the Lord too. I said that for a reason. It's because of relationship. It's because there was interest shown to my life for the Lord Jesus. Someone allowed me to go to youth camp. Someone knew that our own assembly, that we love our youth, we love our children, but there's gifts. And it's kind of like heart surgery. You know, your little local little hospital can do all they can and all the talent and all, but when you come to heart surgery or a foot replacement, you got to go to Phoenix or you got to go to Mayo Clinic or you got to go, and you just got to be willing to humble yourself and admit, my family doctor don't have what it takes. And that's nothing bad about the MD. Sure. But we need a specialist. And I have seen it over the years. God used different gifts in the body. And God will bring gifts into your local church. That if you're listening real close, he's probably saying the same things you hear every week. And some of you respond and say, oh, I'd love to sit under that brother's ministry. Well, you're sitting under ministry and you're it's just another flavor. You get so stuck in a rut. And you know Brother Doug and you know Sister Jennifer and you know the family. And that's how you get. And it's horrible. And your children look at that and they say, you know what? It's a bad attitude. I don't want what you got. We deserve to pass along a heritage of life and loving God and being fantastic. I know y'all don't need to hear that. That's for the internet people, because your church is lively and you're... I love that about you. You're just so quick to... I love that. But now as we close, has this helped somebody tonight? Yeah.
Brother Branham said God is interested in everything that's wrong, everything that you're anticipating, in every walk of life. God is interested in you. And that's all I needed to hear today. Thank you very much. God is interested in you. Brother John, I live in an environment where nobody cares. There's not a kind word. It's stale. And well, tonight you're hearing a personal message. I'm delivering the mail. You've got mail. God is interested in you. In another message, He's God who's interested in everything, all that we do, all that we say, everything. He's interested. He has a vested interest that you make it. As the days go by, as the weeks go by, as the months go by, as the years go by, many people are becoming a victim to exactly what the devil planned, what the devil schemed, and what he devised in this whole thing. The devil planned an excellent diversion plan. I'm talking about COVID and the last 17 months. Satan had devised a huge diversion. That was to distract the people from the Word. Are you listening tonight? I'm talking about people that are interested in the symphony of the change of the Word. You got to be interested. You got to be all in. So Satan had a huge global plan in shutdowns, in masks, vaccines, data, science, numbers, virus counts, politics, sickness, death, every day. He put it in the face, it was on the news, it was at fellowships, even brothers' fellowships, even ministers' fellowships, even family gatherings. It's almost like it didn't trickle in, it became the topic. And I think for a lot of us, we're just weary with talking about it. But for a lot of some, especially with other waves, this just brings up the attention and brings up the emotion. And here we go again. And if we're not careful, we can start getting like this. Just holding thing. And we need to learn to just go like this. It was not the government that shut down churches spiritually. It was not the health officials that caused the coolness and the spiritual death and stripped revival from the people. Stop blaming the government or, you know, Biden and who it was and the CDC. Some of you don't even know the CDC. You have no relationship with them. And the governor. And then all of a sudden it becomes around your table and your children are talking about all and the numbers and how many. Satan has achieved exactly what he wanted to do. But no one can give an excuse for backsliding. No one can claim backsliding as an excuse. Don't become a statistic. I'm leaving you my last comments for this whole day and this weekend. I wish we had another service. But some of us don't just need a little cough medicine. We need a real heart transplant. We need to be willing and honest. I preached a few weeks ago in Dallas, Texas, and there was a lady in the morning service. And I heard the testimony in the afternoon, how she was born with a hole in her heart. And at age 4, they found it. And they stitched it up. But in her 50s, it almost killed her because there was a scar on her heart. They had to do another heart surgery, and they put in a pacemaker, a heart defibrillator. Her heartbeat was connected even to her cell phone and to the doctors and the hospital. So every so often, they had to do checkups and updates and maintenance and a tune-up. And she could feel that. Do y'all think that's amazing? When they did an update at the hospital on her heart that was connected through herself, she could feel that. It was a pulsation. It was Something's not right, and we're just putting it back. We're doing some maintenance on your heart. Now, you can resist that. You can say, well, I don't like that. Or you can say, praise God, I can live. I can breathe. I can walk. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. She could have just died as a little girl. Just over the years, she had a scar in her heart, and in her 50s, she almost died. But God allowed her extra time. And for some of you, you ought to say, praise be to God. God is interested in my life. He's interested in my family. He's just interested in our church. He's interested in my cell phone. He's interested in my computer, in the books I read, in the music I listen to, in my attitude, in my approach. God is interested. And sometimes we feel it when He puts His hand on our hearts. This is a wonderful subject, and I'm not a heart scientist, but it is proven in heart surgery, when they take out the heart in some surgeries and lay it over on the table, as soon as a human hand touches the heart, it's never the same. And you can put that heart back into the person, and from that time, that person, you just study this, it's because human hands touch the heart. And in heart transplants, and I have a lot of notes here on that, but it takes time to do a heart transplant. It's not a 20-minute drive-through. We all like drive-ups and drive-through and Starbucks and, you know, McDonald's and all that, and chicken filet. Yeah, I want it fast. And God's not a drive-through God. Heart transplants take hours. Heart surgeries take hours. We've got to be willing to be interested to say, Lord, whatever it takes. Amen. And we're sitting in the waiting room, and we're maybe wringing our hands, or we're interested. It's our mommy, it's our daddy, or a young person, but we've got to be willing to lay aside. But they got to work. You got to make a living. If you don't get it taken care of, you're not going to go to work. Amen. Your children need you.
Right.
If you're a grandparent, your grandchildren need you. This church needs you. Yeah. Oh, no, they don't. I'm just a small person. You're a son and a daughter of God.
Amen.
You count.
Yes.
I'm going to go back to the three questions from this morning. Brother Mike, you're about ready to come. There is hope for you. It's not over yet. For you. It's not over. And last, not all is lost. You think, all is lost, Brother John. I'm just throwing it to the wind. Whatever happens. No, all is not lost. God sees. He knows. He's interested. He's putting His hands underneath a person that's falling, falling, falling. And He's saying, today is not your day to go. I see another week. I see another month. I see another year. And in your mind, you're thinking, it's all over. It's done. They'll kill me. This comes out. It's going to destroy me. And God sees beyond that. Thank you, Jesus. If you want to read the book of Esther, it's very wonderful. It wasn't Mordecai's revelation that saved the kingdom. It was a young lady called Esther that got a personal revelation. And you can read it. She finally told Mordecai, give me 3 days and we're going to pray and fast and I'm going to go into the king. It wasn't Mordecai that went in. It wasn't the elder in the message that said, I'm going to just say it right. Now he had confidence in Esther. And she said, if I perish, I perish. And you know what Mordecai did? Yes. Hallelujah. He finally saw what he had in his heart in the new generation. Yes. It's not, move aside, Esther. I'll walk in there for you. We've been there. I can say it. No, it's Esther. This is the way it is. Don't you understand? You've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And she began to recognize prayer, fasting. I'm going to go into the king. And if I perish, I perish. Would you all agree? She was all in.
Amen.
You know, in chapter 4, the Bible says when they realized the proclamation had went out, all the Jews are going to die. The Bible says Mordecai was grieved and he was burdened. Then the Jews greatly mourned and they fasted and there was weeping and wailing and sackcloth and ashes. But number 3, Esther was grieved exceedingly. She was interested. It wasn't like, I'm good. I'm the queen. I got my baths. I got my maidens. I'm all good. She got burdened exceedingly. She moved from her comfort zone into a confession. If I perish, I perish, but I'm going in to see the king. Finally, her relationship is what won the kingdom. Tonight, I've been long, but may God bring interest into your heart. May he put into your heart, and I'm just going to pray this with you as we close. If somehow you've lost something in the battle, may God put it there for you.
Amen.
Can we pray like that?
Amen.
If I have lost something in the battle, put it there back, Lord.
Amen.
Satan's a thief and a robber to destroy, kill, and take you out. And God's here to restore.
Amen.
All the years, God says, I'm going to put it back for you.
Amen.
If you lack anything, what do you need tonight? Just speak it out there. God's interested in it. You say, well, God's not interested in my dog. God's not interested in my fish. You just heard a quote from Brother Branham. God is interested in fish. He's interested in a horse. Amen. Fritz and they're going to be there. You say, well, it doesn't really matter. Just flush the goldfish down the toilet, Brother John. Well, we're going to have a big ceremony and a big cross, and the children are all crying. They need to grieve. Don't just walk in there. I'll just flush it down the toilet, you know. You say, Brother John, you're so funny. No, what you've taught your children is they have no feeling. Hallelujah. Ain't God good? Brother Mike, can you come? And all our wonderful musicians, just walk up here and thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, put interest back in my heart if somehow I've fallen short. Put a love back inside of me and a respect. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we've taken our liberties a little bit with this fine congregation. We love them. We love your appearing. We had visitors this morning, maybe visitors tonight. We don't know who you're speaking to or why you would bring Brother John here to talk to us this week, this weekend. Some weeks ago in our little office, we were having prayer time and personal time, and you laid this on our heart about being interested. Did you have one of our young people in mind, or one of our sisters? Was there one of our brothers in our church that needed it this way? Lord, sometimes just to hear it across the pulpit is healing to us. It's like medicine. It's like something to our souls. We can feel something rise up in our bosom of gratefulness that you would even care enough to talk like that. Is the Lord mindful of what our sisters are going through? Is the Lord, does he even care? Oh, yes, he cares. Lord Jesus, put that back into our hearts. None of us mean to be mean. None of us mean to be nasty and rude. None of us mean to be condescending, and sometimes we don't even realize that that's what we're like. We're coming across as being arrogant and know-it-alls. And Lord, is that why sometimes some of our children don't want to serve you? Is that why some in our churches come and then they go? We believe in predestination. We know all that are the Father's, you'll not lose. But Lord, is there something we're doing that's grieving or hurting one of your children? Could we do more? Could the church do more? Could the ministry do more? Could the musicians be more surrendered? Could the song leader be more yielded? Could we all pull a little harder? I say yes. We're not here to give excuse or give a reason, or we're not here to try to talk over you. Forgive us, Lord. We're not good listeners, even to one another. Sometimes we don't listen to you very well. But oh God, I pray right now your Holy Spirit would come into this room like a whirlwind. Like a spirit of God coming like rain down the mountain and flooding into our soul. So much to where we wouldn't even be able to contain it. It would saturate our being. We would say, I love you, Lord Jesus. I'm interested, Lord. I'm interested in my grandchildren. I'm interested in my husband. I'm interested in my wife. I'm interested in our children and how. Brother, could I have said it better? Have I offended you? Lord, let us start putting ourselves in one another's shoes on the matter and be less arrogant. Maybe wait a little bit. Maybe linger. Maybe sing it one more time. Because somebody's about ready to drive back into their trial and they need another cup. Just put down into the water. Oh, Brother Mike, sing that one more time. Oh, let Victoria be anointed one more time. Let the musicians, let the deacons, let our Sunday school teachers, let our pastor, let the ministers, let all of us be filled to overflowing, oh God. Let revival always be in our church. And if we have offended you in any way, forgive us, Lord. We want our relationship to be right. Lord, if someone would cross over tonight, we want to know the last service and our last Sunday was spirit-filled and anointed by angels that walked up and down the aisles, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. From the opening prayer to the closing moment till the lights are turned out. May this church always have the Spirit of God flowing here, convicting us, filling us, calming us, giving us peace. We need your peace, Lord. I don't know why you've talked this way today, but I believe it was for somebody. Some bleating sheep, somebody like Georgie Carter was crying out in her soul, and the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd, has heard your cry. Let us stand now and begin to rejoice and thank him. Let's stand now and begin to lift our hands. Oh, he knows my name. Oh, Lord, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name. Here we are. Well, by the pain can't see light of day. I'll know I'll be just fine. He knows my name. Count the stars, Brother Michael, sing it.
Stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls.
This is relationship now.
Oh, he made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small.
Every step, Lord. homes. And Brother John and Brother Doug have dealt with a lot of individuals and their father, their mother, Brother Andy,
their father left. He walked out of the home, left a mother, left children. That never leaves a person's mind. Even when you get older, you're never the same. You feel abandoned. How could this happen? I want to tell you tonight, you have a father that will never walk out on you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never abandon you. How great is our God? To the you that struggled and you had to make, and you've seen your mother cry, and you've seen your family separated. Esther lost her mother, lost her father. They buried him, and who's she left with? She's an orphan. She had every reason to sing somebody done me wrong song. Give me a violin to play. That's not what she did. She gathered herself together. She allowed the anointing of her hour to come down on her. It wasn't Mordecai's revelation. There was a relationship. She caught it. We've got to catch it, friends. We're in another age. We're in another generation has grown up in your pews. We must have that relationship, that interest. It's not the preacher or the deacon. It's not my mommy and my daddy. It's something that moves in like Esther that says, I'm going. And if I perish, I perish. I'm serving God. I don't care what you do. I'm serving God. What a climax to our day. We're saying to the world, you have no hold on us. We're saying to the modern social media and to all the media, television, you will not hold us. Who are your stars? Who are your heroes? It's not Madonna. It's not the baseball. It's not Hollywood. You look around the room. These are our stars. These are our heroes. These are people that will pray with us and shout hallelujah when the world is falling apart. When they don't know how they're going to make ends meet, and they're groaning in the spirit. The whole world is groaning tonight. Nature's groaning. The wildfires, the heat, the cold, the earthquakes, even in the last 24 hours, Haiti and Alaska, earthquakes, people are dying under the rubble. That's exactly what Satan wanted you to become, is just another statistic. And God had another plan. I'm trying to leave, and I'm going to turn it over to your pastor, but there was a great big condo in Florida that collapsed in the last few weeks. How many know about that? But do you know there was warning given by engineers and by people that had previewed that you've got trouble here? And for months, the association and everyone, they're fighting. They didn't want to pay the money and blah, 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 blah. Till finally one day it just collapses and souls are lost. Families are broken. Dreams are smashed. They had warning. Do you know what we need to do tonight? Pay the cost. Do what you got to do. God's given a warning of love. To spare you and I, so the morning of the rapture, when we're all taken out of here, we can say, praise be to God. We made it. Brother Doug, we made it. Brother Mike, we made it. Victoria, we made it. Oh, the song service in heaven, when we realize it's all over. But until then, we're not going to live in defeat and sit around tables and talk about where we were wronged and why we have reasons to be bitter. We're too close to heaven for that. Just give me Jesus. I don't need drugs and alcohol. I don't need your marijuana. I don't need the world's marijuana. And the dopamine. dopamine that comes from the buzz and the ring and all that from your little device. We need to get hooked on Jesus. And get a relationship with that other dimension. Get more interested. God put interest. Can we just all say, I want more interest? To you that are interested, you'll hear the change. You're going to make it. Everything's okay. Just in time. God gave you a word. I heard the sound and abundance of rain, Brother Doug, and the water's coming. Brother Doug was so caught up in this, he pulls over yesterday, leaves the car running, the lights are on, he jumps out. I'm like, Brother Doug, the truck's running. I didn't say nothing. I jumped out too. I'm like, if the pastor can be this wild, I'm wild too. Let's get a photo. The water's coming. The rains are coming. No one stole the truck. Sister Jennifer was back in the car ahead of us. We got back there. It's okay. We were wowed. What about spiritually? It's like God says something and we go through a service like this morning or today. I hope you're wowed. Not by Brother John, but by, isn't God so great? I mean, he just stretched his tent of, and it means more to us now than ever before. No, don't you resign. Don't you think you're a failure. You keep going on serving God. God put it under the blood of sin forgetfulness. You pick yourself up and walk on. Walk on. God bless you. Hallelujah. God bless you, brother. Hallelujah.